All right, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're calling in from. I wanted to welcome you today to our Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program webinar. Let me just advance the slide. We have a very exciting webinar today, and we have some very special guests joining us from the Bureau of Academic and Cultural Affairs at the U.S. Department of State. We have Dr. Lisa Bernstein from the Fulbright Commission in France. We have Program Officer Charlotte Goodwin. We have the Director of Campus France USA and also the Higher Education Attaché at the French Embassy, Mr. Vincent Michelot. And then my name is Cecilia Kaczynski-Mulder, and I'm the Senior Program Officer here at the Institute of International Education. And I work on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, and I work with scholars going to and from France. All right, so I'm going to turn this portion over to Lisa. So I'll go ahead and mute myself, and then Lisa, if you unmute, take it away.
Hi, yes. So welcome again, and we appreciate your interest in the Fulbright program, and particularly in the awards in France. You might know that Fulbright, the Fulbright program has existed for almost 75, coming up on 75 years, and works in partnership with 160 countries around the world. And we have grants for faculty, for scholars, researchers, higher education administrators, artists, journalists, all professional fields, lawyers, and really all academic and professional fields that there are, which is one of the unique aspects of the Fulbright program. And the mission of the Fulbright program truly is to foster and improve mutual understanding between the peoples of the United States and the people of other countries and communities across the world. The Fulbright program was established in 1946 by Congress, and it is seen as the U.S. government's flagship international educational and cultural exchange program. It's sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. It has funding from the U.S. government, and it is administered through a cooperating agreement with the Institute of International Education. It's also funded by countries around the world, and the French, you'll see these awards today, the French government has put in money, both the federal government in France, but also the many of the regional councils around France have put in funds specifically for U.S. scholars to come to France in their regions, and really are very supportive of the program as well. One issue I did want to mention is that we really have been working to try to bring diversity and inclusion and equity into the Fulbright program. We try to make sure that Fulbright in every way reflects the diversity of U.S. societies and the societies in other countries. We want to try to encourage the involvement of people from traditionally underrepresented groups in all of our grants, and we want to make sure that you know that the opportunities are open to people regardless of race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, geographic location, socioeconomic status, ability and disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, and any other aspects. We really do are trying to work on this more. Traditionally, Fulbright sometimes has attracted certain groups but not others, and people sometimes select themselves out, and we really do want to make sure that people realize that, you know, all groups are welcome and are encouraged to apply. And I'll now pass this on to back to Cecilia.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. And let me just advance the slide. A little bit about Fulbright by the numbers. The Fulbright program funds over 8,000 awards annually. We have sort of different areas or aspects of the Fulbright program that are included here. So we have about 800 U.S. scholars and administrators per year, 900 visiting scholars that come here to the U.S., about 2,200 U.S. students that go out both to conduct research as well as to teach English abroad. Or to pursue a degree. We have 4,000 foreign students who come here into the U.S., and then we have over 400 language teaching assistants as well through the Fulbright program. Approximately, we have 390,000 Fulbrighters who have participated in the program since its inception in 1946. As far as eligibility goes for the U.S. Scholar Program, you can see this detailed on our website at cis.org. But generally speaking, you would have be a U.S. citizen in order to apply. Degree and experience are outlined within the award. So generally speaking, we're looking for candidates who have PhDs or other terminal degrees within their field. Some awards are available for people who have an MA and higher education teaching or professional experience, professionals and or artistic experience with substantial accomplishments, those who have this, and then teaching experience. But we'll talk a little bit about the individual awards for France, but as you're working through our catalog, each of the awards will outline what the degree and experience may be required for that particular award, and you can also search the award based on the degree type as well. All right, so just a little bit, since we're highlighting France today, of course, we've pulled together a list of all the awards that are available for France. So we're offering 11 different awards. They cover activities that include teaching and research and or research. We have opportunities for postdocs, distinguished chair level. Lisa mentioned a little bit about the awards that are funded by the regional government in France, so we'll talk a little bit about some of those opportunities as well in the preceding slides. And then we also have International Education Administrator Seminar to France that we'll talk a little bit about. But if you are an International Education Administrator, I just want to put in a little plug that we also have dedicated webinars for this group as well. So definitely follow our website and our webinar schedule for more information on those. But we will talk about that. So next, I am going to talk a little bit about a sample award description. So by this point, you may be acquainted with our website. So basically, we have an awards catalog, and each country will put forward different awards that they're offering for that calendar or that application cycle. And so the pattern of each award will be the same or similar. So you may have looked at some of these different awards in our catalog, but it will outline under the awards detail tab, it'll outline the grant activity, the length of the grant, the dates that you can conduct your project, which right now we're soliciting applications for the 2021-2022 academic year, which I understand feels like it's very far in advance, but we understand that a lot of people are planning, a lot of applicants plan pretty far in advance for these types of opportunities. Then the location of the grants are outlined, and then discipline types. In this case, we're looking at the award description for the Fulbright Tocqueville Distinguished Chair Award, which is an all disciplines award. So you see under discipline type that it's open to all disciplines, but some may have specific disciplines that we're looking for, and those would be outlined there. We have other tabs for the award requirements, stipends and benefits, and then some information about the country that you're applying to would fall under the country and area overview. On the right-hand side, you'll see a bit more information about the candidate profile. So this is where we were talking about the different degree types and experience would be partially outlined under the candidate profile and also outlined under the award requirements. If there's some time at the end, we'll try to hop onto the catalog, but if not, If you would like to join one of our office hours, you can see that there is information or a button that you can actually press on each of the awards that we can kind of jump a little bit more in depth into the individual opportunities. But definitely reach out to us to talk about these different opportunities, and then we'll also cover each of the awards in detail in the following slides. So now I would like to invite my colleague from the Fulbright Commission, Charlotte Goodwin, to talk a little bit about, I think the next is going to be some of our regional awards, and I'll just mute myself.
Yes, so we have partnerships with three different regional councils, basically local governments, for the to promote regional diversity in our Fulbright grants. And so these are regions that are actively looking to collaborate with U.S. researchers and scholars. And so we really encourage you to take a particular look at these awards. The offering in terms of universities and laboratories in these regions is extremely rich and varied. So the first region we have partnership with is CALTEST, which is made up of the former regions of Alsace, Lorraine, and Champagne-Ardenne. So you can see Strasbourg is located there on the map. It's got a huge number of universities and research centers, and they're very much looking for people in any fields with a few priority fields, including things like health, technology, a lot of STEM fields. As with any of the regional awards, I'm very much available to assist with identifying the right person to contact the lab or university or researcher that fits a particular candidate's needs. A second region would be Hauts-de-France. So that's to the north, the area around Lille, so the former Nord-Pas-de-Calais and Picardy regions. We have two different awards. One is for more senior scholars, and one is a junior research award, so for someone who's at the very beginning of their career, their postdoctoral career. We always have really wonderful feedback for people who stay in this region. It's very friendly, very accessible. It's known for research on climate science, public health, computational science, and a number of other fields. And again, any field is welcome, but they do have some particular fields where they're the strongest. The third region is the Nouvelle-Aquitaine region, so in the southwest, the area around Bordeaux. It's a very beautiful region known for its wine, for example, and home to, again, a large number of universities and research centers. In the award description, there's a sample list of institutions that they are particularly proud of that you can take a look at.
And I wanted to mention, Charlotte, just because you had mentioned it earlier, that the Fulbright Commission, specifically Charlotte, is very happy to discuss and assist in trying to locate a host within the region, and so you'll also find her information in the awards description, but we can also work with you to discuss and talk through some of those areas, but definitely reach out to us if you have questions about those individual regions.
We really encourage people to look beyond Paris, because Paris is obviously wonderful and there's a lot of opportunities there, but it's not just Paris. Mm-hmm. So, we have an All Disciplines Award, so that's kind of the any field, any institution, anywhere award. So it's our most popular award. But it's all level, all fields. for any kind of teaching or research project. We have a specific postdoctoral award in partnership with EHESS, which is a prestigious school focused on the social sciences. It's a full-year award, and so we're looking for someone who is had their PhD just at the very latest, just before the start of the following academic year. They're very strong in the areas listed there, and it's a really great opportunity to become an integral part of the institution. We have some other awards. So we have a fairly new partnership with the CY Sergi Paris University, which is the very recent institution that's a result of a merger of several pre-existing institutions, including the University of Sergi Pontoise, which is the main part of the campus. It could be up to 10 months for the award, so it's a longer than the All Disciplines Award, which is maximum 6 months. They have some really great laboratories, research centers. They're actively looking for people who are working in cultural heritage, heritage science, modeling sciences, so that's everything about risk management, uncertainty, and decision making. They have a very strong business school through ESSEC Business School. And of course they have pretty much any field you could possibly imagine because it's a multidisciplinary large research university. We have a specific chair in migration studies with Aix-Marseille University down south, and again a 10-month award. It's a residential award, so it's housing is provided, and it's for any discipline in a project relating to migration studies. So it could be sociology, anthropology, history, literature, or anything, as long as the focus is on migration. And we have a French Studies Award, so an award for someone in the humanities and social sciences focusing on an aspect of French history, politics, France, and French society related. And that can be anywhere in France. Our last program, so we have, some other countries too, we have an International Education Administrators Program. So it's a week and a half seminar. It's open to international education professionals. So we've had presidents, vice presidents, deans, provosts, directors of programs, and who come to the research landscape. So our next edition, we should be going to Lille. Taking the group to visit universities, research centers, schools up in the Lille area, and then bring them back down to the Paris area to do the same thing. So it's about making connections and becoming familiar with how higher education and research works in France. And it's fun. So.
Thank you, Charlotte. I just want to check whether or not Vincent, can we hear you? I know, I think I see that you can hear us.
I don't know whether you can hear
yes,
me.
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, thank you. How are you? Good?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is a really wonderful opportunity for us to hear from you, from the French Embassy. I was wondering, now that we ran through the awards that we offer for France, I was wondering if you could share with the audience a little bit more information about the institutional, like higher educational institutional landscape in France and anything else that you might want to share with our prospective applicants would be really helpful at this time.
Well, I think the first thing which is very important is that there is no such thing as one size fits all in French higher education. There is a indeed a big difference between what we call the grandes écoles, the schools to which admission is governed by a national competitive exam, and the other schools or universities with a regular bachelor, master's, PhD program. There's a wide variety also in terms of specialization. And so I would encourage Fulbright applicants to look beyond Paris and even look sometimes beyond the very large cities where indeed there's a high concentration of research. But in a lot of fields, you will find that you will do wonderful work in a smaller size university in an environment also which is more conducive to developing the values that are the Fulbright values. For example, in oceanography, Brest would be the place to go, or Lorient, and obviously those two cities are not the ones that any American applicant would think of in terms of going to France. Now, the second thing is really that as an ex-Fulbright myself, I find that the key relationship is with your advisor or your contact in your home university in France, and that should be the determining element in picking a lab or a team with which you are going to be conducting research at the expense of everything else. It's an absolute priority that you benefit from daily encounters, that you're fully integrated in a team. So in choosing between various options, that would be my key determinant. How well can you have access to a team of scholars and researchers who are going to help you along the development of your project?
Great. Thank you, Vincent. We will have some time for questions at the end, so we may have some from our audience, but this is really helpful in terms of in terms of the webinar, and really appreciate your taking the time to join us. This is really valuable. Thank you. Okay, so as far as application components, before I kind of launch into this, I also want to mention that on the CIS website, we do have the different portions of the application broken down, and it also includes some information about the various components and what to include, say in the project statement or the length of your CV and things like that. But as far as the application components, we do have an application form which can be filled out through our SLATE application system. There is a button on each of the award descriptions where you can click to apply, and then you'll set up your account through SLATE, and then you can go in and out of your application. Just keep keep your login information, of course, but you don't have to complete the entire application and upload everything at the same time. I would highly recommend, actually, when you're considering applying, to log into the system, start an application form, and then you can visit it and come back to it at various points during the application cycle. We do require a 3-to-5-page project statement, and we'll have a bit more information about the project statement following slides. We will be looking for your CV or resume. Two letters of recommendation are required. Language proficiency report if required by the award, so definitely check that out. And letter of invitation, where required, is also in one of the components of the application. Supplemental materials, if you're if you're applying to do any portion of teaching, so if you were applying for a teaching-only grant or one that was teaching/research, you would be required to provide course outlines or syllabi. If you're conducting any form of research, so if you're doing a research-only grant or research and teaching, we would ask that you include a bibliography. And then if you're an artist, an architect, and or journalist, we would be asking for you to submit a portfolio. And you'll be kind of directed to do that through the application system. In terms of the project statement, as I mentioned, project proposals are 3 to 5 pages. We would ask when you're putting forward your project statement that you're focusing on what you plan to do, the specific courses you plan to teach, the goals of your research and your methods, and you're also really talking about why you would be proposing to go to France for that particular award. And explain the anticipated impact of your award on not only your host institution, but also your home institution as well as yourself. So with the Fulbright program, you're really kind of this connection point. So you would be connecting not just yourself to your host, but also your home institution to your host and things like that. And then you would also encounter various people while on your grant that would expand your network and the network of your institutions as well. Supplemental questions that will be asked for in the application form is why Fulbright, why this country? And then I would also say that you consider how adaptable you are and how well you deal with challenging situations. You just never know what will kind of unfold while you're on your grant. And that also just is that we understand that when you're putting forward your proposal, you're kind of laying out what you would like to accomplish on your Fulbright grant. But once you get in country, different things may develop, different contacts, different opportunities, getting out of your host institution maybe to give talks or something like that. That can also happen. So it's very important to be adaptable. And then how will you adapt your materials or your project for the host culture? So this is where discussions with a prospective host may be helpful as well, and really thinking about how the Fulbright program isn't just an opportunity for you to teach and or do research abroad, but you're also this sort of cultural ambassador while you're there. All right, so here are a few areas where you can stay connected with us. You can join our My Fulbright community, and that is also something that you can find through our website. You can email us directly at europeeurasia@iie.org, and we can also get you in connection through that means to Charlotte at the Fulbright Commission and really work through and talk through a prospective proposal to France. Visit our website. If you found our webinar, maybe you received that through an email or maybe you saw that directly through our website itself, but definitely keep an eye on our website for more opportunities and more offerings in terms of webinars. I mentioned before the office hours that we have, so that would be an opportunity for you to connect with our staff and be able to discuss specific questions to the project that you're looking to propose, or if you're sort of weighing your options between different awards, you know, in this case specific to France, we're also happy to talk to you through those as well. And then if you know of any colleagues who might also be interested in the Fulbright program, you can refer them through through the link that's here and also through our website. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And then now I would like to open the floor. I'll leave this page up, but I'm opening the floor to any questions. If you haven't found it yet, there is a question box in the module. And I'll go ahead and just bear with me. I'm going to pull it out so I can see the questions a bit better. And then I'll go ahead and read through the questions and you know, open to our panelists as well, should the question be best for them. All right, so we have someone who's a creative writer, looking for a host institution to do research. Looking for universities open to disciplines in English and creative writing. Charlotte, or maybe Vincent, any thoughts on that one?
Well, I can answer this particular question. The top two programs in American studies and English in France are at Paris Diderot, which used to be called Paris 7, and that's really the top program. There is also an excellent program in creative writing at the École Normale Supérieure in Paris and in Lyon. There are two of those elite, very competitive schools, which do also have doctoral programs, and those are the three programs that I would most recommend, probably. So Paris Diderot, as in the name of the writer, and then the two Ecole Normale Supérieure in Lyon and Paris.
Thank you. The next question we have is, could you give advice on what are the most important aspects which are considered when selecting candidates? Okay, so really when we're looking at a Fulbright application, I would say that the important thing to consider is that every piece works to the whole. Okay, so when you're laying out your project proposal, you know, you're outlining, as I mentioned before, you're outlining what you propose to do on your project, where you're proposing to do it, what your methodology is, and things like that. And so if you're applying to do a research-only project, you would want to make sure that the bibliography itself kind of speaks to that, that your experiences through your CV speak to what you're trying to propose and move forward with, and that you really select writers for your recommendations that could speak to your research abilities, or if you're applying to teach, could speak to your teaching background and things like that. So there isn't one piece that's greater than the rest. It's kind of how it all comes together. But I would also recommend that when you're considering your proposal and how you're laying it out, is that you're making sure that the aims of what you're trying to accomplish is feasible within the time period that you're applying to go for, and then also as you're making connections with your hosting institutions, that's really the best fit and the best place to undertake your project. So those are a little bit more general, but I don't know, Charlotte, if you have anything to add, maybe from the Commission's perspective, I think would be really helpful to sort of emphasize both sides a little bit.
Yeah, good fit for the institutions, definitely something that we're extremely interested in. And that we really take a look at. I would also add perspectives for collaboration and cooperation and exchange beyond just the Fulbright period. So is there room for growth and further work?
Great. And I will say that I, just listening in on review meetings and things like that, and I can't emphasize enough just watching some of the you know, as the applicants become grantees and then when they complete their project, is this impact, like how your time on a Fulbright in France would be sustained in your home institutions when you return. So making that kind of finishing the circle. And we do understand that plans may change slightly from the time that you're applying to when you're actually carrying out the grant, but just being really kind of thoughtful about that element is also, I think, a really important piece here. The next question is whether or not it's the first step to working through an application is to request a letter from a research center institution, and then how we contact those individuals. So to start, related to the letter of invitation, sometimes, you know, the idea of a project and working through the project kind of happens concurrently with requesting a letter of invitation. So I should mention that our regular due date for the application is in mid-September. So there is time to sort of apply and gather the pieces and the information that you need to. It does take some time to get that letter of invitation from a host. And if you're having trouble, do reach out to us, because Charlotte is always very happy to assist in that portion of it. But I will say that when you are making these connections with a prospective host, that can help to enhance what you're laying out in your application, because you're sort of discussing with them what their interests might be and speaking to what Charlotte was saying before about kind of your fit and the project's fit to the host institution. Charlotte, I don't know if you probably have a bit more insight into that in the French context. The additional part of the question is, how do we contact those people? I mentioned that we would help and things like that. But Charlotte, any further insight?
Yeah, so we have a letter in French that explains what the program entails for a host, what their obligations are, and what it means to host a Fulbright scholar. So that letter can be included in any communication you might have with a prospective host institution, so that they know that how it works. I think that it can have an excellent project and not have a host institution yet. That's definitely possible, and I can also help put your project with the right host institution. But a successful project is really contingent on having the right partner to facilitate your work and help you and collaborate with you. So I do encourage that to start early, and you might have to send out a number of emails before you get a yes. And not answering right away doesn't mean they're not interested. It's just the way things go. So keep pushing. And again, you can loop me in so that I can help in that process.
May I add a couple of points on
this?
Having participated in many of those committees, I want to point out, first of all, that the more detailed and the lengthier the letter of invitation is, the better. It is great to have a letter of invitation that says that you'll be hosted by a lab or a research group. It is even better that the invitation contains some details as to the intellectual environment in which you're going to be. And it's also valid for the letters of recommendation. I think that in those committees, we often see letters of recommendation that are almost lukewarm, and that is not much help, to say the least, for the applicant. The persons from whom you should be requesting letters of recommendation should be people who know you very well, who know your work, who know you personally, and who would have the ability to bring detailed, precise support to the project. That is extremely interesting and important. And the one last point is that French academics tend to stay away from their computers. That's in the period between the 15th of July and the 15th of August. So be patient. Again, that was said before, but that should be emphasized. We generally return to computers fully, except for research, after the 15th of August. So that gives you a window during which you can request those letters of invitation.
And I also should say that following the application deadline on, the 15th or the middle part of September, our office here at IIE CIS, we do conduct a technical review of applications. So if you're finding that it's taking a bit longer to obtain that letter of invitation, you know, we can work with you on that timeline and to make sure that we can get those in Don't make that be an impediment to your application or anything like that, because as you're seeing through listening to the webinar, we're here to help you, and we really want to make sure that you have all the pieces together in order to apply. The next question basically is about, like, some awards in the catalog specific to France maybe offer one award versus the all disciplines, which offer up to 6 awards. So the question is related to the competitiveness between the awards. So we can't share specific application numbers versus, you know, the number of awards that are given for that year, because it does change from one competition to another. You're basically, though, trying to determine not only the kind of institutional fit, the project fit, but also the award description fit where you may come under. So a lot of times, you know, if you fall within a specific discipline, or you might be interested in applying for the French Studies Award versus the regular All Disciplines Award, I would definitely you know, choose the one that you think you fit under best. And then for those people who are looking at the regional awards, if you have institutions within those regions, I highly recommend considering putting your application there. In general terms, sometimes, and I can't say for France or, you know, specific countries, but sometimes all disciplines awards might attract a larger number of applications just because of the openness of the being that it's open to multiple disciplines, but also open to different institutions, you know, like a whatever institution you're looking to apply to. But I would always recommend when trying to decide how to apply for the program to choose the best fit as far as the award.
I just wanted
yes.
to add that.
Please do, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you want to find the fit, especially for the discipline and the research center and the institution that you can get the support for and fit in well, where you can have the most impact. But I would say that the regional awards, they are really doing sort of reaching out, because as has been mentioned, often scholars sort of automatically pick Paris or perhaps the south of France. So these are regions that really are looking to make these connections, so that if, you know, you do find an institution that fits you well, you know, they're really reaching out because they want these new connections with you. So I would recommend at least looking over the regional awards as, you know, as an alternative to sometimes just going with the all disciplines, if that can fit your project and what you're looking for, because they really, you know, they are really doing some outreach and have a lot to offer and are sometimes underutilized areas. Similar, you know, sort of like when people come to the U.S., they might go to the East or West Coast. They might not look at other regions. It's a similar dynamic there. And also the institutional awards for, like, the postdoc for the EHUSS, the social sciences, they're really looking for people in those fields specifically for this award. So I would say to look at those other awards instead of only the all discipline.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Another one, I think maybe this might be in Vincent's area, is that someone is asking if you can give some tips on connecting with chemistry labs, specifically inorganic chemistry ones if possible. Charlotte, you may also have as well, but
I would not be able to recommend anything in chemistry unless I was contacted directly, because this is really not my area of expertise. But on the other hand, I can have access to that information very easily.
Okay. What we can do is, if the person asking the question, if you reach out to Europe Eurasia, or I will make note of your name, and we can connect with your email address and get you a bit more information on that, if that works. All right. Thank you. Okay, so let's see. Looking for information or for institutions supportive of fine arts research, specifically painting. Any thoughts?
Yes, absolutely, Nina. There are two different approaches to fine art. Either you're looking at a PhD program or a master's program in a university, and that would be more theoretical, and that would be part of a art history department, or you're looking at schools of fine arts, which function in a completely different institutional and academic model. And they're absolutely remarkable schools of fine arts in the major cities in France, Paris to start with, but again, outside of Paris, in the major cities, whether it's Strasbourg, Lyon, Bordeaux, or Lille. Oftentimes, what is interesting is that those schools of fine arts have very close ties to the local museums or institutions of fine arts.
Great, thank you. The next question is about language proficiency. If language proficiency exam is not required for the award, is it still recommended? So one thing I would like to emphasize or mention is that in most cases, language proficiency or proficiency in the local language is not required unless it's something that's needed in order to successfully complete, say, your research project. Like if you're proposing to do research at an institution that has, French language sources or sources in the French language, then that may speak to the feasibility of your project. Like it might not be as feasible for you to undertake it or something like that. But in general, your teaching would be done in English. Charlotte, could you speak a little bit about language proficiency and, what might be needed in certain cases for France?
Yeah, no, it's perfectly possible and is done every year to come without having much or any French for most of the projects. Because everything in labs and in the language is English, the language of everyday communication. But as Celia mentioned, if your project is involving, say, doing sociological field research, going out and interviewing people, we want to know that you're going to be able to do that and have the French level to be able to interview people. Or looking at archives, French language archives, that you have the language level to be able to read and understand them. But for the most part, if you just say that you're interested maybe in taking a, we love when people say that they're interested in picking up a little French while they're in country. Again, it's not compulsory, but there are plenty of French language classes offered at universities or by the labs themselves, or any way you might make connections in the local community to even without French.
And if it's not something that's required for your particular project, you may indicate, if you do have French language background, you may indicate that in the first part of the language proficiency report, which is included in the application. Just a little bit of a note about that. But if, for whatever reason, it's required, like if you're going for the French Study Award or something like that, where it may be required and you're not a native speaker, then you may need to submit a letter. A letter from someone who can attest to your language proficiency. But we can work through any of those questions as they arise, too, on our side. All right. So the next one is, if one is applying for a research/teaching award, are there any minimum requirements for the syllabus, number of credits, number of weeks, hours, et cetera? So if you're proposing to teach, this is definitely something that you would discuss with the host institution that you're applying to, just to see in terms of what they're interested in. there wouldn't be a minimum or maximum number of hours or credits from the Fulbright standpoint or the audience in which you're teaching, but this comes down to the feasibility again. So if you were applying to do a teaching / research award, you would want to speak to the activities on both sides. So if you were applying to do both activities in, say, a four-month period of time, but then we're proposing to do a pretty significant amount of research and then teaching four classes, that may or may not be very feasible, but we understand that this would be something that would come from a discussion with your host, so it's kind of finding that balance in there, and then when you're putting forward your proposal, you would be speaking in one portion to what the research project would look like, and then speaking to another portion as far as what the teaching award would look like. When you're submitting this sample syllabi, you know, you would remove any kind of boilerplate text from your institution, but I also would say that this is a good opportunity to include information about what you were considering teaching while you were in France, so you might use that also as an opportunity to adapt your syllabi to that particular context, too. So I know it's a little bit of a broad answer, but just kind of thinking very carefully about what you would like to do on the Fulbright and then using your contact with a hosting institution as the opportunity to discuss what you can contribute in terms of teaching. Let's see. Next question. I'm assuming that if one is a French professor at the university level, that is sufficient evidence of language competency. Will we need to do anything else in the course of our application process? So I think I talked a little bit about that, or we talked a little bit about that in the language proficiency portion, but if it's, again, something that's required for your particular project, you know, you may have one of your colleagues talk about and write a letter about the work that you do, but we can discuss that on an individual level, depending on what you're proposing. Let's see. The next question is there a preferred order in terms of identifying a colleague at the host institution, i.e., should we reach out directly to faculty members in France and ask if they would host or go through the Fulbright office to make the connections or introductions? Vincent or Charlotte, any insights on that particular question? And I can repeat if I need to.
Well, I believe that the first thing would be to get in touch directly with the individual scholar, because this is the person who is going to be able to tell you whether your research project fits with his or her expertise. And so I would recommend that applicants write directly to individual scholars, and then those individual scholars might or might not be aware of the Fulbright program and its details, but the applicant will then be able to inform them fully as to what a letter of support entails.
And then kind of as we were talking a little bit about earlier, if you're having trouble or if you need other kinds of assistance to determine the direction or which host might be best for your project, then we can enlist the help of the Fulbright Commission in that case. But either way, we're here to help. All right. So the next question is, for a music research / performance project, are conservatories considered acceptable host institutions?
Yes.
Yes, right?
Short answer.
Short answer, yes. Yes. I mean, thank you, yeah.
Yes, and there are quite a few remarkable schools. I can identify one in particular, which is one of the elite schools in terms of performing arts, which is in Lyon. And for those who handle French, it's called the Conservatoire National Supérieur de Musique et de Danse. and it does deal with performing arts beyond dance and music. And it's one of the very top schools in France.
Great. I'll kind of along the similar line, we have a composer, a librettist, working on a new opera that is focusing on the emergence of opera in the U.S. and in Paris in the late 19th century. Do you have any organizations or schools you would think would be a good affiliation?
Again, the school I just mentioned happens to be in Lyon, but would be perfectly able to handle that kind of project, and the faculty there and the performers would be able to supervise or help with a project of that nature. But the similar institutions exist in Paris, and there again, the choice is between a more academic approach, which would be more of a fit with the departments of music in a university, or with a more practical performing approach where the conservatories would be more appropriate.
And a project can combine both. There can be a primary host institution and a secondary one for both research and performance.
Great. So the next question I think is for me. Now that you have introduced the supplemental questions that ask about why you would choose France, should you cover that in your project statement? So we introduced that particular question in the application form so that it could jump out to reviewers a little bit more and to various individuals who would be reading through your proposal. So you wouldn't need to spend a lot of time or much time in your project statement, but I would suspect that when you're outlining the project that you're proposing to do in France, you would be kind of making that case sort of secondarily in your project proposal. But we just are, again, pulling it out into the application form so that it's not something that gets lost because it's a very important piece and very important component. The next question is, if you are teaching and doing research, the project proposal should still be 3 to 5 pages. That's correct. Regardless of activity type, the length of the project statement is still the same, and you're applying to do both activities in the same project. Okay, so the next one is, what institutions/regions would you recommend for a project on using technology to teach linguistics/communication?
I can talk to that issue. The ideal departments are departments of linguistics throughout the country, and the use of technology in linguistics is something that is very widespread. So if the applicant were to look at a list of the best linguistics departments in France, which would be traditionally located in the universities of large cities which specialize in humanities and social sciences, any of those departments might be able to host that applicant. Now, obviously, there is some faculty, scholars in certain departments that have an even greater expertise, but that I would go through simply a bibliography of French authors on that issue to locate who is best fit for supervising or helping with a project on linguistics and technology.
We've actually had, I can think of a couple of projects that we've sponsored. One, the person was in Grenoble. And the other, the person was in Montpellier. And they're very successful projects and very happy with their host institutions.
Great, thank you. The next question I think is pretty particular to the applicant. So the next one I think is, okay, so the person is an architect and a product designer and not necessarily someone who's, you know, an academic within the field. So I think that this is more of like a professional type project. So for this one, if the asker of the question could reach out to us by email, and I'll go ahead and reach out to you by email as well, I'll answer that question there. But basically, if you, you know, are someone who maybe is more involved in the field as a professional, we do have opportunities through the catalog to apply in that way. You would basically be talking about your experiences as a professional. And the amount of experience you have would be outlined in your CV. And so, you know, we do have opportunities available if someone falls under that category. So I'll go ahead and reach out to you separately. Okay, so the next question relates to opportunities for connecting to researchers working on climate change adaptation, particularly from a collaboration decision-making standpoint. So are any recommendations on how to connect with those types of, like with a climate change, maybe an institution or grouping of institutions? I worded that very poorly. Basically, do maybe Vincent or Charlotte have any recommendations in the field of climate change adaptation, particularly collaboration decision making, from a collaboration decision making perspective?
It's a tricky question for one simple reason, is that the French approach to that can be either very scientific, in which case you would be dealing with a Department of Climatology and that would be located with hard sciences, or you have in institutes of public affairs, which are basically schools of government, like the Sciences Po network, and the most prestigious one is obviously in Paris, but there are also other Sciences Po schools of government throughout France. There are actually nine of them outside of Paris. Those schools address issue of climate change, but from the public policy perspective. And then in the universities, you would also have departments of political science, which would be working together with the hard sciences on climate change. But there is an enormous emphasis on the part of French research on climate change, and we do have lots of resources available for that applicant. So if he or she were to contact us here at the French Embassy, I would be more than happy to provide with a lot of material on this particular question.
Great.
Yeah, the regional awards, all of the regions with which we have partnerships, they all have specified that climate change is among their research priorities. So I would very much suggest as well looking at the regional awards and perhaps reaching out to me as well for an affiliation.
Kind of along that same line, Charlotte, you mentioned the letter that you have in French that outlines the expectations of institutions. Do applicants or can applicants reach out directly to you to get that information, or how is that usually sent along?
Yeah, it's on our website. I think it's also in the catalog for the regional awards, but it's definitely available on our website. Otherwise, I can send a copy to anyone who's interested. We've designed it mostly for the regional awards rather than for the all disciplines, but it really does explain pretty well the setup.
Cecilia, would you like to wrap this up?
So I just wanted to thank everybody for their time and attention. Definitely reach out to us by email at europeeurasia@iie.org. And we will go through any questions we may not have gotten to and reach out to you. And thank you so much again. And thank you to our panelists, to Vincent, to Lisa, and to Charlotte. Everyone have a very good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks. Merci.